They have the consequences of the acts that they have participated in. But see, the thing about it, what made them really go into it was the enjoyment or the pleasure of it. But whenever that go against what God has ordained, then how many of you know, then that's consequences. So then we have to deal with the consequences after. So in this this chapter, The Horrors of Sin, we really need to see how sin is devastating to the child of God. In Ezekiel 18, chapter and the 20th verse, it says, "The soul that sinned, it shall die." And you know, shall is the strongest strongest word in the English dialect. It says shall die. Not it might. Not it ought to, but it shall die. The soul that sinned, it shall die. And so we have to really, I'm repeating myself, we really have to understand the devastation of sin, because I believe that if I learn this, the aspect of how sin devastates our life, then I can really appreciate grace. Y'all with me? So now I understand, okay, just like, you know, we don't have a lot of teaching about, you know, hell and that sort of thing and stuff. And so in order for me to know that I need to resist it, I need to know something about it. Amen. You understand? So in order for me to know the devastation of sin, I need to know so that I can resist that. Because if I don't know, then I may be embarking on something that's going to destroy my life later. So I need to know how this is going to affect me. So all unrighteousness is sin. Whatever's not right is wrong. Y'all with me? And sin brings a reproach. It erodes honor. The Bible says in Psalms 8, I think 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And it goes on to say in the 5th verse, it said that you crowned him with glory and honor. So every person, every child of God, God crowns them with glory and honor. But how many of you know sin will strip you of your honor? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that. And it terminates dignity. It cuts down. It brings low. This is what sin does to us. Are y'all with me here? Yes. Sin is a spiritual heart disease. You know, heart disease is a shortcut to death. So the soul that sinned, it shall die. And we all know that the wages of sin is death. It kills your finances, your joy, your family, your peace, your home, your business. Are y'all with me here? Yes, and so in Christendom, it seems like because in many places, sin is not really taught. You know, I don't believe every Sunday that you're supposed to beat folk over the head with the word of God. Tell them, you know, you low down, no good, that kind of thing. I don't believe that. But I know that people should know about the devastating works of sin so that they can stay away from it. Hallelujah. So now, when you sin, you'll be living as a dead man. Yeah, well, you'll be living as dead, because the Bible said, "He that lives in worldly pleasure is dead while he yet liveth." Now, he's not talking about, you know, enjoying life. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the person who has chosen a life of sin, a life where they're not really focused, or they don't really have the word of God guiding their lives. So they have this thing where they do what they want to do, find whatever kind of enjoyment out of whatever they do. Are y'all with me here? Now, so a person who's doing it, they are walking corpse. Anybody, you know, anybody ever saw the movie? I think it's The Green Mile. And so it's when, you know, they have these prisoners on death row. And so when they bring them in, they say, "Dead man walking." Dead man walking. What is dead man walking? Amen. He walking now, but he not going to be walking for long. So that's what sin does to us. We can be alive, but really, when it, as it relates to spiritual things, we're really dead. We're really a dead man walking. And so the enemy has an inroad to our life, and we don't really understand what kind of things be going on. The apostle just finished saying it a while ago about how Jesus said that he had to go because the enemy couldn't find nothing in him. And see, because the enemy couldn't find an inroad into his life, then he could not really attack him. Many times as the people of God, we are giving the enemy inroads to our lives because we are allowing him to influence us or to seduce us into walking into sinful activity without even realizing what's going on with us. Hallelujah. And a lot of time, I had somebody call me while I was on my way here, and they was asking me some questions about some things that they was experiencing. And I was sharing with them that a lot of times people really bring a whole lot of affliction on themselves. They have a whole lot of self-inflicted injuries because they refuse, you know, because sometimes when we grow up, we got all these ways about ourselves and we refuse to let those ways go. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody don't speak to me, I ain't speaking. Somebody don't like me, I'm not going to like them. That's not what the Bible says. You with me? So we try to hold on to all the way. This is the way my grandmother was. So your grandma was wrong. You don't just, you can't just be a person who, you know, you're going to have, as being a child of God and walking in holiness, you're going to always have challenges. But you can't allow the challenges that you have to cause you to go away from what the Word of God says, because the enemy going to use it against you. So we have to put ourselves in a position to where, all right, okay, I understand. See, I've got to die, but I got to die to the flesh. I got to die to all these, you know, all these desires of the flesh, all these things that are trying to pull me off from God. Hallelujah. And I want to say this. Oh, Jesus, help me to say this the right way. I had a gentleman who he was going to different churches, and he had his little sack he'd bring to church, pull his Bible out, write a bunch of notes and stuff like that. But his main focus was to really lure women into, you know, the trap that he had set. And so the thing about it was, is that he was going from church to church, and he was picking up, you know, girl here and a girl there and that kind of thing and stuff. So, you know, he came over to our church, and so when I found out about it, he had picked up two girls at the church. So, you know, because I'm under the apostle. Hallelujah. And because, you know, he trained me. I pulled him to the side and said, what you think you're doing? And so come to find out, so a lady who he had influenced from somewhere else that came to talk to me. And so he thought that the lady was going to, you know, say some nice things, stuff about it. And the lady said, he been in your church and he and all that word that you preach, he got all them notes down, say, but he has no intention on doing the right thing. Say, I just came to tell you that you got a member right here that's on his way to hell because all he doing is luring women. So I said, man, this is the kind of stuff you've been doing for a long time. What's really going on? So my point is this, is that single women got to be careful not to let a rascal just because he wear a suit. And just because he quoting a couple of scriptures talking about the Lord sent him. Well, if the Lord sent him, the Lord should have told you before he came. Because you got all these kind of folk that, you understand what I'm saying, that's out there, that's trying to lure you. You understand what I'm saying? And you so the enemy making you feel like you so lonely. And so the first person come along and they got a Bible under their arm, they start talking that talk. You better let them know. Say, no, I'm not desperate. Let them know that you're not desperate. I'm not desperate. I'm following God. I'm walking on. Don't let nobody pull you off your holy walk with God. Don't let nobody pull you off your holy walk. Walk with the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you got to develop the intimacy with God so you can discern these rascals. Because they're out there. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And so I know that there's some women, there's some lurkers that's lurking too, but I just don't know none. But I know some men. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this thing is, this holiness thing, y'all, it's a real serious thing, because a lot of folk are experiencing a lot of things happening to them, and it's because they've yielded to the devil's seduction. The Bible talks about seducing spirits. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians 5 and 57, it talks about the sting of death. It talks about the sting of death is sin. And so so you know, if you're bit by a snake, if a snake bites you, and especially, you know, if the snake is poisonous, if he bites you and you don't attend to it, you are on your way to early grave. You do know that, don't you? All right, that's the same way sin does. Sin, it's just like a venomous snake. It's going to kill you. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this, the nature of sin, it's because it's three-dimensional. Number one, it's deceptive. It's deceptive. Hebrews 3 and 13 says, but exalt one another daily while it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. So, number one, sin is, it's deceptive. And then, secondly, sin is temporal. It offers temporal pleasure. In Hebrews 11 and 25, it says, choosing rather, talking about Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, sin is pleasurable. Are y'all with me here? So there ain't no sense of you're walking around, like you just parachute out of heaven, and you don't know sin is pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable. But the thing about it is, amen, you got to understand that sin, it carries consequences. And so while the pleasure going on, there's going to be some other stuff that's going to follow the pleasure. Are you with me? So the enemy, what he does is, he makes such a hype on the pleasure part that we don't realize that there is consequence that's going to follow that. Mm-hmm. And then it's destructive. Sin is destructive. Praise God. It's three-dimensional. In Proverbs 11 and 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So, sin is not your friend. Are y'all with me here? It's an enemy. Sin is not a lifter, it's a destroyer. Sin is not a promoter, it's a demoter. Sin does not give people beauty, it makes men ugly. Hallelujah. So sin doesn't even require definition. Amen. Whatever's not right is wrong. If it's not righteousness, it's sin. Are y'all with me here? So let's look at some of the horrors of sin. The devastating consequences of sin. One, there's shame. Sin brings shame. Secondly, it brings destruction. Thirdly, sickness and disease, afflictions, and then the absence of peace. Well, shame. Let's look at shame. Sin is a barrier to honor in anybody's life. See, Like I said earlier, God has placed glory and honor upon his people. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And so what sin does, it strips you of your honor. Because all of a sudden now, you don't feel honorable. You feel dirty. You feel used. Hallelujah. You know, you can be in a relationship with somebody who, you know, they told you that they're going to marry you. And that's another trick. That's another trick. Oh, yeah. What's your plan? What's your goal? Well, my plans is marriage. And then when you start talking about it a little bit, well, it's gonna be a little while. We're gonna take our time. They're gonna take their time, but they wanna touch you. Oh my goodness. Hold on. But so you got to be able to tell them, no way, no bed. No contract, no contact. Y'all with me in here? Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to you got to be able to tell him, you know, I know I look nice, I'm cold as ice, but please don't touch the merchandise. You got to be, you understand what I'm saying? You got to make sure that they understand who you are. Don't play me, cheat. Don't tell me about no marriage is not exciting me. Let me see your walk with the Lord. Let me see how much you love God. Hallelujah. Let me see how faithful you are to God. Because faithfulness to God gonna prove, amen, if you can be faithful to glory to God. All right, y'all, I gotta calm down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So no matter who you are, sin will never allow you to see honor. Wherever sin reigns, shame reigns. And men have no future. You heard the old saying, you know, it's a sin and a shame. Because shame always accompanies sin. Always. So remember what happened when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Because of his sin, Adam was stripped naked. He was stripped. And when Adam called out to, when God called out to Adam, Adam, where art thou? He responded in Genesis 3:10. It says, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So sin will strip you. It'll strip you naked. You'll be naked as a jaybird. It'll take all your honor, all your dignity, all your glory. Are y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
See, I need to know about grace. I need to know, amen, when I do make a mistake, I need to know about grace because I need to know that I can get up.
Yes, sir.
But I don't need to have a grace that I can stay down and wallow in it and then expect to be covered by God. I have a responsibility. I got to get up. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Adam, he became a laborer where he was once a king. There was no honor or glory awaiting the crooked. Proverbs 28:13, it warns that. One more time. All right. I'm going to see if I can slow down a little bit. I don't know about y'all, but man, I said that under the apostle, man, all that fire just shooting out. Lord Jesus, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Jesus. Can I say something?
Yes.
I was going to say it anyway, but I just wanted to. This is the God heaven's truth. I have never seen a man of God as thirsty and as hungry for God as the apostle. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we can think that, you know, because of what we've seen, you know, in our past as it relates to ministry gifts and that kind of thing and stuff, we can think that that's all it is to it. But when I come around him, he's always challenging me to reach for more. I'm talking about more of God. He challenges me to to stay in the presence of God. He challenges me to see God with all my heart. Hallelujah. And so that in itself is such a tremendous blessing, because we don't have, I'm just being honest about it. We don't have a whole lot of gifts in the body of Christ that the apostle really won't help folk genuinely. He wants to see folk come from where they are to the fulfilling their potential in God. And so he pours out his life. Every time you said, he pouring it out. And so, man, look, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't sit on no whorish crook. You understand what I'm saying? No. I couldn't do it. Some other folk may be able, but I couldn't. You understand what I'm saying? No, Lord have mercy. Lord Jesus. The way these men messing around with folk, children, and all that kind of stuff. And this ain't no bad confession, but I'll have a prison ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why you got to make sure your family none of the right folk. Don't be around there talking about Reb a man just like anybody else. Yeah, but Reb supposed to be a holy man. Don't come here making no excuses. You understand what I'm saying? No, if I'm gonna bring my family around him, amen, he better be walking upright. Hallelujah. So there's not a whole lot of appreciation today for a real genuine gift. Hallelujah. And I mean this with all my heart. I believe that Dr. Thompson is the best kept secret. I used to say in America, I believe he's the best kept secret in the world. But the thing about it is, see, what caused him to be a secret is because they see the message that he's carrying, and so they judge him because of that. And so they are not ever going to set. See, this is the thing that God told me about judging. See, the Bible said judge not, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, watch this. See, the reason, because when you judge, you got to do it from afar off. See, the Bible calls us to be fruit inspectors. In order to be a fruit inspector, you got to get up close to the fruit to see. Because you could be passing by and you could see something that looked like an orange. You get up to it, close to it, and you find out that it's a peach. So you got to get up close to it. So some people would never get close enough to him to really see the sincerity and to see the depth of the word that God has placed in his heart. Hallelujah. So I thank God every day for my apostle. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for my apostle. Lord Jesus, Lord, I could have been, I always said, Lord, you really love me. That you have placed me under a man, amen, that really love you. Because a whole lot of folk is following some flaky people. Okay, all right, okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Y'all know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. The Bible talks about, in Proverbs 28, it says that he that covered his sin shall not prosper. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Talking about iniquity. Now, iniquity, you know, iniquity is when you practice sin for a certain amount of time. You with me? And so it becomes a habit. And so when that thing becomes a habit, that's how a generational curse is passed on. Because let's just say that, you know, your grandfather or somebody had a certain sin that they were, they practiced. And so now, and that's why it's always good to find out what's in your family. Yeah. Oh yeah, you need to find out. See, a lot of times you may have seen grandma and grandpa in their older age when they were wearing the big hats to church and how they were praising the Lord and stuff, but you didn't know them when they were young. And you didn't know all the stuff that they were doing, but you need to find out, because a lot of times that thing will be working in you and you don't know what it is. and you'll be bent toward a certain sin, a certain behavior. You'll be bent that way. And every time, you know, temptation comes, you find yourself going in that direction. That's what iniquity does. Iniquity have you going in a certain direction, even though, you know, you may feel like, you know, I don't have no kind of generational curse, but it always, that certain thing when that temptation, because the enemy knows that I got your grandpa with this. And so I'm going to also tempt you. That's why you got to break yourself free. That's why it's so important. It's so important, amen, to get in this word, because the Bible said that this word is the thing that'll wash you, that'll clean you. Yes, so you got to get in that word. You got to meditate. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, see, a generational curse, you got to be the one to stop it from going on down in your family line. Yes. You got to be the one to stop, you know, it from happening to your children. Yes. Praise God. All right, I got 2 more minutes. So it says, only he that now let it will let until he is taken away, until he be taken out of the way. That is, if you don't stop iniquity, it will stop you. If you don't break it, it will break you. If you don't destroy it, it will destroy you. So Adam was clothed in the glory of God until sin stripped him naked and shame took over. Sin is the father of shame, while integrity is the father of dignity. You got to choose. And everyone that gets married to sin ends up giving birth to children of sin, children of shame. If you don't depart from iniquity, you will be humiliated. If you continue to meddle with sin, you will die in shame. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then there's destruction. And I got 1 more minute. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Behind every trouble of man, at the root of every calamity is sin. As soon as sin came, calamities follow, because whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed, according to Proverbs 13:13. That's it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So continue to read that scripture. Reading that chapter. There in the 3rd chapter, the horrors of sin, because we need to know we need to know so we can stay away from it. Yes, sir. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you.